The summer sermon series has been all about the parables of Jesus. I don't know if you guys realize it, but the here, then, the parable is actually a way that you could translate the beginning of some of the parables. When Jesus says, you know, listen to this, this is the answer to your question. Here then, the parable is a Greek translation. And I've been trying to tell you some of the things that I learned a few years ago when I was in seminary from my teacher. And his teacher was C.H. Dodd. This is a little bit wordy and complex, but let's read it together. A parable is, said Dodd, at its simplest, the parable is a metaphor or a simile drawn from nature or common life. When you hear the parable, Dodd said, it arrests all of your thinking because it's so vivid and it's so strange. And after you hear the parable, it leaves your mind in doubt about what you actually heard, but it teases your mind into active thought. I love that. Another way to say it, much simpler in the way that I would normally say it, is when I hear a parable, it makes me think, right? Because I think, well, that could be about that, or it could be about something else, or maybe there's a third thing that it could be about. Because a parable leaves you thinking, you know, what was Jesus trying to say to me? Because the truth of it is not always apparent. What exactly the point of the parable was is not always clear. And as we've seen, if you've been here some of the last few weeks, when you read it in Luke, it says one thing. When you read it in Matthew, it says slightly another thing. And it's just not always consistent. Every single parable draws you into the story. It forces you into the story. Your mind is forced into gear and you have to think. And every time you hear the parable, you are forced to make a decision in your mind. That's exactly what is going to happen today when you hear then the parable of the hidden treasure. Let's read that together. Matthew 13, 44. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which someone found and hid. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. The word of God for the people of God. There's some words there that are difficult to translate. And I offer you another version of the parable, which is a literal translation of the Greek words. How many of you here read or speak more than one language? Raise of hands. You count French students who are here in the... You count. Yes, Spanish students. So, come on, lift them high. Seriously? Okay, we got a few people. In translation groups for the American Bible Society, I actually had the opportunity about 30 years ago to go to a conference of the biblical scholars and sit in a group. They found a little piece of a manuscript in the ancient world that was about this parable. It was Matthew 13. And I've explained this to you before, but I'll say it again. You know, in your Bible, whenever you get a footnote, what that footnote is about is often, it will say, alternate sources say this word instead of that word. It is about these little pieces of papyrus that are found in jars in the ancient world that have a different translation of the word or a different word in place of it. Let's read this one here and get the idea from it. Heaven's imperial rule, that's really what the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God is to me as an American. So that's why I used imperial rule, because I don't know a kingdom. Have you ever lived in a kingdom under a kingdom? Maybe there's one or two of you that have. But it's like heaven's imperial rule is like treasure hidden in a field. When someone finds it, that person covers it up again and out of sheer joy goes and sells every last possession. That's something that you can't really capture in English words. Because when I was in this meeting, okay, they were trying to do one word for one word in the Greek. And they sit around and they have this meeting and they vote. And sometimes their votes take a very long time. And you need to get up and go to the restroom. But the vote and the discussion is continuing. And you're afraid you might miss something. That's what happened to me as a young person. But you can miss things. And so I've chosen to use five words to take the place of one word, you know, that the committee ultimately decided on. And that's the nuance of these different languages. And so in case you missed it, this is about burying treasure. The meeting that I attended was about burying treasure. And you know, burying treasure was not unusual in the ancient world. It was not unusual at all. And you know, we can think about it. Maybe some of us have experience, or our parents did, or our grandparents. What did you do before there were banks with your treasure? You know, you hid it in the mattress. I've always heard that. I've never actually put any money in there. You buried it, you know, somewhere safe. I mean, you hid it. When finally the FDIC came along, we started putting our money into banks when it was guaranteed, even if it was stolen. The historian Josephus talked about this. This is a person that was a contemporary of Jesus. This is a person who actually, in his books that he wrote, the beginning of Jesus' ministry around those times, he mentioned Jesus in his history book. And he talks about how there were a lot of wealthy people in those countries that buried their wealth. And we know that's right because we've had archaeologists for years finding coins, finding gold, finding money in the ancient world. Everyone would bury their treasure. So that's a key for us to remember when we're talking about this parable. And it made me think, wouldn't you like to find some treasure? Wouldn't all of you like to find some treasure? And it would be even better if the treasure we found already belonged to us, right? What if it already belonged to you and you found the treasure? I think that's why people love the Antique Roadshow. I mean, how many of you watch that on PBS? And so I'm imagining myself, the person says, Mr. Weeks, do you know what that old rusty lamp that you found in your attic is actually worth? And I'm saying to the person, you know, no, I have no idea. And then he tells me it's worth a bundle. It's worth a fortune. And it's just been collecting dust in my attic. What a thrill it would be to find out that some of my old junk is actually worth something. the thrill in finding the unexpected just on a regular, everyday, ordinary day. And the parable of the hidden treasure begins with a finding just like this. You know, we don't know anything about how the treasure got into the field. We do not know if the finder was worthy or righteous or a person in need. I mean, I think a person in the ancient world, and even we, when we hear this story, we think, oh, if he found a treasure, then he must have lived a really good life. That's what we expect, because that's what all the stories are usually about. If you find something, that means you were worthy or you were in need and God has delivered to you. But we don't have any details like that in this story. And so that's something that the hearer is expecting and doesn't hear. All the people who heard the parable, even us, we are asking those kind of questions and we are thinking those kinds of things. But the real problem with this parable is when the man sells and gives away everything that he has so he can go buy the field. Because if the treasure belonged to someone and could be traced to them, there were laws like that even in the ancient world, then that belonged to them. Think about it this way. If someone stole some property and buried it in your field, whose property would it really be? Would it be yours because it was buried in your field, or would it be someone else's property? What is Jesus trying to say? When I think of this parable, I always think of something that I learned in grade school on the playground, and you all know it too. Finders, keepers, losers, weepers. Say it together with me. Finders, keepers, losers, weepers. Every one of you has heard that, I'll bet. I don't think Jesus is saying finders, keepers, losers, weepers. And I think that if we focus too much on all of these stupid questions that I've been asking today, we're going to miss the point completely. And I submit to you that biblical scholars have been focusing too much on all of these questions and not focusing on what Jesus said. They focus on what's missing and not actually what Jesus said. Because the parable is so short and compressed, and we follow the action, if we follow it closely, really what Jesus is saying, the parable is not about finding treasure at all. I think it's sort of like a warning that Jesus is saying. When you read this parable in context with the other parables, I think Nancy began talking about that at the beginning of the service with the other parables where he said, the kingdom is small, the kingdom, you know, is like a mustard seed. And then he starts talking about these lost parables. You put it into that context. I think this parable's a warning. Remember, the kingdom is like a treasure. Normally, treasure in a story in the Bible, like I mentioned before, it's a reward for righteousness, a life well lived. We would normally think that the hidden treasure was a reward to the person who found it. But here, Jesus is saying that treasure of the kingdom of God is not something that you can hoard and keep to yourself. It's not something that you can hide in the field and possess. You can give everything that you have for the kingdom of God. How would one do that? By sharing what you have. By passing it on by giving it to others. Treasure in this story is about the kingdom of God and not about a rusty lamp collecting dust that you get big money on the roadshow. The question you need to ask yourself is, what are you going to do when you have the kingdom of heaven in your life? Are you going to hoard it and keep it to yourself? Jesus' teaching all throughout the New Testament was nothing like that. If you are going to be a follower of Jesus Christ, you got to pass it on. You got to share it. You can't just keep the kingdom of God to yourself. Will you be the kind of person that shares it with others, or will you be seduced into thinking that you got to keep the kingdom all to yourself? Because when we find a treasure hidden in the field, some people go and sell everything that they have and they buy the field, and some don't. Some people spread the good news. Some people share the wealth. When you hear a sermon or you read in the Bible, you have to make a choice. We have to give up the worldly, earthly focus of our life and spend that time listening or reading. When people make that choice once, it often goes unnoticed in their life. But when they make that choice again and again and again, and it becomes a habit in their life, and they make that choice over and over again in a long period, people start noticing the transformation in their life. People start noticing that they are part of God's kingdom. Will the kingdom have that kind of effect on our lives? That's what Jesus wants to know. Will the kingdom be active in your life because you share the treasure? Amen? We come to our time of invitation in worship. We're going to sing in a moment.